Call us back to order after a brief recess for one of our colleagues. Thank you, Dr. Shaw, for springing into action. I heard so lucky to have you right here.
I was like, Dr. Shaw wants mouth to mouth.
He was ready.
She said, I will get a picture. I will be getting a picture.
Tracheotomy.
Tracheotomy, that's.
I said, I will get a picture.
Real sharp.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, so we are on roll call, correct?
Yes.
Okay, roll call for shall ONCA 1708 pass?
Congresswoman Evans?
No.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supernov?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehem?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. ONCA 1708 passes. There is an alternate effective date discussion. All those in favor of the effective date, alternate effective date, signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Alternate effective date passes, and ONCA 1708 is referred to enrollment. Next is ONCR 1708, a resolution to approve a revised fiscal year 2017 annual revenue projection of the Osage Nation. The sponsor is Congressman Shaw. How do you wish to proceed? Is there anyone else who would like to speak for or against this resolution? Seeing none, Congressman Shaw, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd just like to remind the Congress that the purpose of yet another revision to our 2017 projected revenue is in keeping with Osage law as passed earlier this spring in the HUNCA session, where revisions to the projected revenue are no longer just simply announced by the chair of the Appropriations Committee, but actually revised. It doesn't mean that every time another dollar becomes available that we're going to get another resolution, but when there are substantial changes to its format or content, then I believe that particularly when we're in special session, that it's important to be able to set that. And this did about four different things. The RAMA settlement was paid $960,000, made available in the general fund. That was added to tribal revenue. We had two non-government grants, and the category best suiting those was also tribal revenue. We took out $30,000 in program income that had been, that was to be added in there. But as Appropriation Committee, my colleagues did not feel comfortable trying to recognize that at this time. The $1.9 million that was unappropriated in FY 2016 was thought to not be available immediately for new appropriations and would need to wait until after the audit was completed and reported by the Treasurer before it became available for new appropriations. And then we recategorized the FY 2015 unobligated funds, also previously known as carryover funds. They are now under a restricted category under the retained revenue fund as passed by this Congress and anticipate soon to be signed by the chief as he voiced his support for that on the first day of the special session. So just to let you know what kind of parts were changed and adjusted in that projected revenue, and also for your own edification later as you consider what's contained in that and how the changes were made. Thank you.
The question is, shall ONCR 1708 pass?
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supernov?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehem?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. ONCR 1708 passes. It's referred to enrollment. We are now on motions and notices. Councilwoman Buffalohead.
Everyone's had their day to, that they requested to look at the rules and ethics changes that the Rules and Ethics Committee wanted to make, and I'd like for us to vote on that now, whether it's up or down, that the Amendment 1, does everyone have it still in front of them? The Amendment 1, currently the way our rules read is that you can be counted, your vote can be counted for a meeting if you call in, and this is all during the interim, not in special, or not in session, or even special session, but during the interim, if we have a committee meeting, your vote can be counted, but you can't be counted to make a quorum. And to me, that just, it doesn't make any sense. And I think that when we had that rule, it was voiced, but we said, well, we'll just leave it this way to see how it goes. But I know that I have been out on travel for business and have called in. I know that Congresswoman Whitehorn has been out on business and has made the effort to call in for a meeting. I know that Congressman Walker has been out on business and has taken the time to call in for a meeting a few times. I can't recall anyone else calling in, but I know that there are some of us, whether it's we're traveling for a conference or other people that have a job, or you're just out of town with, on family business, I think that your vote should be counted, and I think you should be counted to make a quorum. So I'd like to see this change made, at least for the next year, and we'll look at it again in a year. If it doesn't work and everyone's unhappy, a year from now, people can go in and make the amendment to change it back the way that it was. But I think that it allows for people that are not, that just cannot be here for whatever reason, to participate and be counted to make a quorum and to vote. And I have more respect for that than, I think, than we have people that may even be local and just aren't here for a meeting. So I would like to see this change happen, and again, for anyone that is reluctant or has any hesitation, I would ask you to open your mind to look at a change that you may not be for right now, just to see if it will work for 1 year. The change for us to even have a vote counted via electronic means was a huge step for us. So I'd like for us to take the rest of the step and have that person be counted for the quorum.
Congressman Hamilton.
As a chair of a committee that meets quite a bit during the interim, I don't agree with this rule change. The way the change looks like I could be here at the meeting with the clerk and sit around a table with four speakers for telephone comments. I just don't agree with it. I believe it's not a way to get work done. You should be at the meeting in person. So I'll be voting no for the change.
Point of inquiry or order, is there a motion on the floor that we're discussing right now?
No. She just, you asked for a review of, you mentioned.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
The Rules and Ethics.
Amendment.
Amendments for, we have two. Amendment number one, I'll break them up. And I have a second.
Will you read amendment, would the clerk please read amendment one?
Amendment one, page 39, lines 30 through 35, strike lines 30 through 35, and insert. Number three, a committee can only convene a meeting if a quorum is present. A quorum is a majority of the members of the committee. In order to establish a quorum during session, members are required to attend the meetings in person. During the interim, quorum may be established by member attendance via electronic means. Also, page 39, line 38, after present, insert in person.
Discussion, Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Well, the rule as it reads currently, which I don't have the rules in front of me, so I can't read it to you. I propose that rule because I believe that if, as Congresswoman Buffalohead, I believe that if you spent your time, you're on a committee, you couldn't possibly be there, that you ought to be able to have a vote if you were going to spend your time, sit down and listen to a meeting. So the rule as it's written, I proposed and agree with and continue to agree with. The reason I believe the discussion went in the Rules Committee and on the floor of Congress during that, whatever Congress it was that made that rule change, I believe that we all agreed that the quorum portion of it, for me, the reason I was not wanting the presence to make a quorum, because I didn't want us to get to the point that we were having telephone conference meetings. If we have a six-member committee and five of you can show up by teleconference and not have to walk through the doors of the chambers, and one person is the chairing the meeting, I just don't think that that would be a good road to walk down. So thus we have the quorum, your presence electronically not establishing the quorum. So I'm like Congressman Hamilton, I don't support this rule change.
Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Well, I don't think that any of the colleagues that I am with now or have worked with in the past, from Second Congress to Fifth Congress, would use this as a means to get out of walking through the door. I think that every single person elected is here because they care and they want to participate in committee discussion, because it's a free will which committee you sign up for, knowing that certain committees like Congressional Affairs meet fairly often during the interim to approve things like payables, credit card payables. But I also think that for the Congress members that live like Dr. Shaw and Congresswoman Edwards, or for a Congress member who's got another job, and we have several of those Congress members in here that have a second job, that if they are taking the time to participate via the phone and they can vote, that they should be counted as meeting a quorum. I don't think that it will get out of hand. I think that if people can be here, then they are here. But do I expect for a Congress member who may be out on the road working to drive all the way back to Pawhuska to sit on a Congressional Affairs Committee meeting for 10 or 15 minutes to approve our visa bill? I don't expect that. And I don't think anyone else should. I think that if they're taking the time to get on the call and participate, we should let them vote and count them as a quorum. I just don't think that anyone would take advantage of this. I really don't. And again, we can look at it in a year if people are, but I seriously doubt that anyone is going to misuse this change.
Congresswoman Edwards.
By way of example, to my personal experience, in August, there was an emergency Congressional Affairs Committee meeting called. There wasn't much notice given. And I called in, and the things on the agenda were, after approval of minutes, were payables, a cell phone stipend, and discussion of upcoming sessions. I'm not sure that was the one. I'm not sure whether there was a quorum established on that one or not. But the next one that happened was an emergency Congressional Affairs Committee meeting noticed on October 17th or October 18th. Where the agenda was approval and purchase requisition. That was the only thing on the agenda. I called in for that one, prepared to vote on that, ready to go, and there wasn't a quorum because my call-in couldn't count as a quorum. So I think they eventually got a quorum because they found someone that could drive in. But, you know, this is regular course of business stuff. I was prepared. I knew what was going on. But I couldn't vote, and we couldn't start the meeting because somebody else wasn't there. So it has a lot of practical applicability in case of congressional affairs, and I don't see it as being something that will be abused. I think it will be, it will help the efficient flow of business, so I'm in favor of it.
Congressman Shaw?
Well, I realize it depends on the individual or individuals in question that are members of that committee, what their motive is or reason for having to attend electronically. I know from a practical sense that if I want to provide some significant debate to whatever a unique issue on agenda is, I'm going to have a much tougher time if I'm a voice on a phone that you can't see. And if I want to really be heard, I have to show up face first or I'm not going to influence anything. I'm a voice on the phone. I feel like I can vote. But you and I have all been at meetings where the voice on the phone just didn't weigh in as heavy as the people that were sitting there. So you give up a lot when you resort to calling in over the phone. Give up a lot of your chance to influence a debate. And for routine things that are not so provocative, I think that a telephone attendance to count towards a quorum and vote are fine for routine things, payables. I mean, I think that should have been allowed to establish a quorum. Still should. I can't imagine there'd be people living in the area that are, well, I'm not going to drive 20 minutes to that meeting. I'm just going to call in. I mean, it's theoretically possible, but I really think unlikely, highly unlikely.
Thank you. Anyone else? Congressman Supernall?
Does this require that vote?
I don't think so.
Rules change.
Not that I recall, but we can double check.
I think it does.
Well, while you're looking that up, I don't want to kill this thing, but I'm going to vote against it. I don't want to encourage these telephone meetings, but I can see where there would be instances emergency meetings where we couldn't give proper notice, but maybe exceptions, or valid exceptions. We even had a bill proposed once that if you missed a meeting and find it $350, now we want to make it, or just call in. I'm afraid it will work. I don't want to encourage that sort of thing. I think you ought to be here when I find it all in my own, so I'm going to vote against it.
Okay, Congresswoman Edwards?
Well, for the sake of those people that, even if you drove up here, you're looking at a meeting that's going to last 5 minutes. And to make that kind of effort to only to find that there's not a quorum and you're not going to have the meeting is really disrespectful to the other members that have made that effort. So, you know, maybe there shouldn't be any more emergency meetings then, but if you're going to operate on that kind of time frame, 1 day, day and a half, 2 day notice, then you've got to be more respectful to people that it takes a 5 hour day just to get here for a meeting, which is why, to me, with respect to some of these things, and the fact that I've been here by telephone, ready to work, and there's no quorum, I carved my time out, and it just made no sense to me that I'm sitting there, and I can't count for a quorum, or either of the rest of you that perhaps called in, and yet, what's your vote? It doesn't make any sense.
Congressman Maker?
I can see the argument on both sides of this, because I know there's a lot of times when the person just simply cannot make a meeting, whether emergency or rigor, you know, to the process. But I also think that, I'm not saying anybody in this room, current congresspeople, would abuse this thing, but we gotta think about it in the future. And I think maybe having this as a temporary thing, like Congresswoman Buffalo had said, that try it for a year to see if it works. But the way we're doing it now seems to be working pretty well. But like I say, there's going to be circumstances that some people just simply can't make it to a meeting. And I don't think they need to be punished or discriminated against in some way, but I do think that if a person knows that they can't make it to a meeting that meets quite often, say like the CA meeting, Congressional Fair, we all know they meet quite a bit for a lot of the stuff that goes on to the business of the Congress. Maybe you should refrain yourself from being on that committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Wolf-Levitt?
Well, I would agree with that as chair of GovOps. There's been several times that, even when I was on GovOps before I was chair, where GovOps is one of those committees, and we tell new members when they get on board, and we're trying to help show the ropes, the more seasoned Congress people, this committee has a lot of legislation. You know, if you're not looking to attend meetings every single day during session time, you probably don't want to be on it, because here's what it gets. Congressional Affairs, we tell new people that as well. And I know every Congress member does their part in trying to show new Congress members what the ropes are. Congressional Affairs meets in the interim all the time. I was at an appropriations meeting last session where I rearranged my entire day to attend that meeting, and I was asked hours before the next day, well, the night before, we're gonna put you on the agenda, can you be here? I really couldn't, but I made it happen. I showed up, chair showed up. Guess what? There was no quorum. No quorum. And I have a problem with Congresswoman Edwards phoning in and not being counted as a quorum when there's other people on the committee that are all local individuals, and there was no quorum. She couldn't be counted. I think that's wholly unfair.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, there was more to this rule that didn't read right than this issue. It talked about, and we can pull it up, but I also want to remind you guys that the Constitution says the Osage Nation Congress may only meet in the interim, the period of time between two sessions, by interim committees to study a particular subject. So, and then it says, and you're to study those particular subjects in order to make recommendations to the next regular session of the legislature. Theoretically, you could argue there's a lot of decisions taking place in interim meetings that the Constitution may or may not approve of, but there is more to this problem than, there is more to this rule that needed change than just this subject. There was some verbiage and some language that needed cleanup.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Tillman.
Call for the vote. Second.
Okay, there's a motion to call for the question and seconded. We are voting on whether or not to vote. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, we will now roll call, please. I will clarify that yes, it does require 8 votes. And we are now voting to approve amendment number 1.
Congressman Maker.
No.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
No.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
No.
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congresswoman Bethelhead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
No.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Okay, amendment number 1 fails. To adopt amendment number 2. Do I have a second?
Second.
Congresswoman Edwards.
We we've had a lot of situations, and this has been a long time coming for this one, where the only people that receive documentation about a bill are either members of committee or sometimes just a few people. And this places the impetus on the sponsor to make sure that when they have support documentation, that they get it out, that they get it to the clerk first, and then the clerk will distribute it to all the Congress members. And then secondly, once the documentation is presented in committee, a lot of times you'll see committee documents come in, then it's the, and as Congressman Mason says, that bill then has become the property of the committee. It's then the committee chair's responsibility to make sure that stuff gets stamped in with the committee clerk, which is a process we are observing, but not formally. And then that committee clerk will make sure that one goes out to all of Congress. So it's really a matter of making sure that everybody has the same kind of documentation so that you don't have to call up, hey, are you on this committee? Did you get some documentation? Because I don't have it. So that way it's distributed to everybody. That's the point.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I don't have my amendments in front of me. So is one portion the clerk of Congress and the other portion the clerk of the committee, or is it all committee clerks? Or is that who's where's the responsibility lie?
The sponsor of the legislation ensures that all the support documentation is filed with the clerk and distributed to each member of Congress prior to the committee or floor consideration.
Who's the clerk? Is it the clerk of the committee or the clerk of Congress?
Clerk of Congress.
It doesn't say that.
All right, well then I'll make an amendment. Add of Congress after clerk. That's a motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion? Signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no.
Okay. It's been amended. And then when documentation is presented in committee, the committee chair shall ensure all such documentation is filed with the committee secretary and distributed to the members of Congress.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
Okay, so I don't know, for the people that have never been on Rules and Ethics, what y'all perceive as what we do, but it's a lot of work, and most people don't want to serve on Rules and Ethics because it's a lot of work, and it's work when everyone else is sitting around and has a little bit of extra time on their hands. Rules and Ethics is usually back there looking at rules or engrossing. So this was a area that I saw over the course of years where a member of a committee may be talking to another member who's not on the committee and says, hey, did you see where we got this email on such and such? And then another member would be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, so this ensures that all members will receive the same information regardless of whether or not they're on the committee, which only puts us on the same page because why? We all vote at the end of the day on third reading for the legislation that's coming out, but we may not be privy to all the emails that were sent back and forth between a chair and the rest of the committee.
Congressman Supernall.
What is the purpose of number 7? I mean, isn't it already in the rules? I thought the sponsor had to be there to even talk about it.
I don't think it says co-sponsor in there.
It didn't say co-sponsor. We added co-sponsor in there.
Oh, okay.
Congressman Shaw.
I just wanted to ask my colleague, you meant number 7? Mm-hmm. Well, it says that the co-sponsor should be recognized for explanation if he or she so desires. That's been amended out there, so it's a mandatory type explanation now. I'm assuming it's the first time it's taken up in committee, not every single time. I hope that everyone would agree on that. But again, it's not if you desire and you're the sponsor, it's to me like it's mandatory that you need to be present at the committee meeting when it's taken up for explanation. I have the rules on my phone and iBook, so it makes it kind of handy to look up if you don't have them with you. I recommend anyone try to do that if they can. It's kind of handy.
Sleep with them, put them under your pillow.
Congressman Supernall.
Assume then the reason that you put this in there is so to discourage sponsorships, that the sponsor should know something about the bill. But it doesn't require that, it just says, recognize him, or hi there. And you don't require to explain well.
It's a start, we'd love to have you at our committee meeting to strengthen that portion of the rule.
Congressman Maker.
Okay, my question on this is, I know when I was first came on Congress, I was told that when you're sponsoring a bill, you need to have as much documentation as you can, especially if something you're very passionate about. I'm sure you're going to have everything you can find on this, on the bill. But like Congressman Supernaw said, sometimes you do get a request for a, what's called, y'all named it a courtesy sponsorship, that maybe you may not have all the documentation at that time. So, and even one of your own personal, something you're real passionate about, you may not, someone might have a question in committee that maybe you hadn't thought about, you know, because when you're in committee, there's all kinds of questions that can come up, and maybe you don't have that particular documentation. So I think if you know you're going to need like a fiscal analysis up to an appropriation, you know, there's a lot of questions of things, documentation that just, you know, we all know you have to have. So I want to know, can you define all, maybe a little bit more in detail than just all?
All, where, which portion? On number 8?
All documentation must be presented to the clerk of Congress before the during the filing. That what it says?
Yes. Okay. Congresswoman Edwards?
Well, if you don't have it, you can't file it. But the point is, if the reason for this rule is so that information is distributed uniformly to all members. It doesn't get distributed just to the committee. I've been walking up daily and saying, hey, is there another copy of whatever you've got there? And people are saying, yeah, well, I sent it out to the committee last night. And it's like, well, I'd like to have it too. So it's just a heads up to people. You know, send out your documentation to everybody. If you don't have it, obviously you can't file it. It doesn't mean that you're required, it's not telling you you're required to have certain things, it's just saying when you have it, send it out. That's the point.
Congressman?
I'm just saying the word all in here is
all of, I think she's
all documentation, all you can find or all that you think you should.
All of what has been given to you. It's, I don't know.
Strike the word all. I'll move to strike the word all. Does that help?
Yes.
Second.
Discussion on that one. Okay, all those in favor of striking the word all, signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. We will now vote on amendment number 2. Roll call, please. As amended.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Beckwith.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Okay. Amendment number 2 passes. Any other motions or notices? I have one. Go Bucks. Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
Deb Ops meets at 1 o'clock. It's 1:23, so we'll be going into committee.
Congresswoman Whitehorn speaking.
Yeah, I'd like to put Congress and members of the Osage Nation on notice that Chief Standing Bear compacted, executed a compact agreement with the BIA. I have been told December 1st. All of this has just come to us by word of mouth. I believe that the assistant chief referred to it in our last meeting. I had a conversation this morning with Ms. Curry from the land department, and she confirmed that a compact has been executed. The superintendent, my father was speaking with the superintendent yesterday, and she confirmed that a compact has been executed. I'd also like to point out that Osage Nation has a law that says ONCA 1362 to require all, it's an act to require all tobacco and gaming compacts with the state of Oklahoma and all compacts concerning Indian Health Services or the Bureau of Indian Affairs of the United States of America to be affirmed by a resolution of Osage Nation Congress, and to require compacts pertaining to the minerals be approved by the Osage Minerals Council and to establish an alternate effective date. To my knowledge, we did not execute a resolution of Congress to authorize the execution of the compact with the Department of Interior to compact the BIA functions and services. I feel like Osage law has been broken, and that the chief has disregarded what our laws are. I believe that the controversy surrounding, I have a motion after this too. I believe the controversy surrounding the introduction of ONCA 1715 arose specifically because right now Congress is going to be asked to ratify this action by an appropriation to fund the branch of realty that he signed, I guess, supposedly signed a multi-year funding agreement to take on those functions that the BIA currently administers and also some ENR functions. So in my opinion, just Maria's opinion, and I'm the only one speaking here for myself, I feel like 1362, our law's been violated. And I feel like if we ratify this function of the law being broken by an appropriation, that we're skating out as members of the legislature, Osage Nation Congress, on some very thin ice. So I also have a motion here that I'd like to ask the speaker to, I move that Speaker Pratt communicate and inquire of the chief and Mr. Ken Reinfeld of the Office of Self-Governance if a compact has been executed between the Osage Nation and the Department of Interior to compact the BIA. If the answer is yes, would they please send a copy of the compact to the speaker? Because that's my motion.
Second.
The reason I'm asking for that is because I don't believe that anybody sitting here at this table has seen a copy of that compact that's been executed. And we should have already seen it and passed a resolution to that. I also would like to go on.
There's a motion on the floor and seconded. You know, we're in discussion. Let me take over.
Go ahead. I'll go ahead and yield to whatever Speaker Congressman Mason.
Congressman Mason.
Yes, I'd like to have, again, just clarification on this. Of the speaker, I'll ask through you to Congressman Whitehorn, when it's spoken of that it's the compact is with compacting all of BIA services or a particular division of BIA's responsibility. I'm unsure.
It's my understanding, realty, and what did you state on top of that, Congressman Whitehorn?
I'm going to preface that question with, I don't know, because we don't have a copy of the compact in front of us. But what I do know is when we were requested to sign a resolution, to pass a resolution to authorize the chief's signature on the compact, that it was an umbrella compact, that it would include anything that the Department of Interior holds. Until we actually have that document, I can't say whether it's minerals, whether it's
It's not I know for sure, but I feel like I know for sure, they haven't compacted minerals. But what I'm saying is that the compact that was presented to us at the table was an umbrella compact that could include any service that the chief would choose to take by a multi-year funding agreement. It is my understanding right now they are taking the ENR function and the branch of realty right now. The ENR function does not have a trust responsibility with it, but the branch of realty does include a function that has a trust responsibility with it. So that's what I know, or I think I know.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, in part, this was my concern this morning, that I'm ready for a special session. I don't have any legislation that lets me know what it is I'm going to vote on. I don't even know what it's about, and it shows up this morning, and I was trying to get a feel for what it is, and as I understand, but here again, I'm operating off of rumor, that this is an appropriation to fund something that we're
compacting,
something that the chief has compacted on behalf of the nation in opposition to this law. So I didn't even want to go and hear it, because how can we be prepared? And frankly, I can't even be here today. So
I can't either.
I am disturbed that this is the way procedurally that we're headed, because this is not what's contemplated in the special session law.
Congressman Supernall?
I think we should pass this, because we can't just turn a blind eye to violations of law, which apparently is a clear violation of law. And I think people are going to come back and say, well, this is going to delay things, and people's applications are going to be delayed. But if you listen to recent comments, a week's delay is nothing compared to how long things are being delayed now. So that's a kind of a rings kind of hollow to say this is going to delay things. I believe that we would be irresponsible to not at least examine what appears to be a clear violation of such law.
Okay, thank you. Does everyone understand the motion or need it repeated? Okay. Congressman Mason?
Repeat the motion, please.
Requesting Speaker Pratt inquire of the chief and Ken Reinfeld if a compact has been executed between the Osage Nation and the Department of Interior to compact the BIA. If the answer is yes, would he send a copy of the compact to the speaker? Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay. Motion passes. Any other motions or notices? Congresswoman Edwards.
I move that ONCA 1715 be tabled pending response to the letter.
I'll second it for discussion, but I think it's been assigned to a committee.
Don't you think this Congress has authority to table legislation?
Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Well, I would disagree. It's been assigned to a committee, and I think that it's now with that committee. Of course, this Congress will suspend rules, modify this, that, and the other to get what it is that they're wanting to get done, but I'm going to vote no for that, and I don't agree with doing that in the committee.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I'm not trying to be critical, but a bill was introduced. It was put on an agenda that didn't have it on. I don't even know. I guess somebody has to vote to modify the agenda to put it on the agenda.
Point of order.
That we can't even attend to know if we're
Walker.
Is that motion in order?
I'm thinking it's not. It's in the jurisdiction of a committee at this point. And if you wanted to,
right, I'll move.
I think possibly make a motion to send a word to a committee, possibly. But
okay, I withdraw my motion and reassert my motion.
She acknowledged.
To move ONC.
She had. Well, you were in the middle of a motion, but Congressman Walker.
Yeah,
Make a motion to adjourn until Monday morning at 10 a.m.
Second.
Well, I can't make a motion. The motion's a no, so I'm not gonna make a motion.
Congressman Edwards, we have a, your motion was not seconded, so there is currently a motion to adjourn. It has been seconded. Did you say until?
10 a.m. Monday morning.
10 a.m. Monday morning. Discussion. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'd like to hear what Congresswoman Edwards' motion was.
I don't know.
Okay, Congresswoman Edwards.
My motion was gonna be to read.
This is in discussion of adjourning right now. So we, that motion's on the floor. We need to vote on that to adjourn.
Call for the question.
All those in favor of voting, no, to vote on the adjournment, signify by saying yes.
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 The opposed say no.
No.
Okay, we, there was one no, not to call for the question. We will now vote on adjournment. Roll call, please.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supranoff.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congresswoman Bethelhead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
No.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
No. Okay, we're now adjourned until 10 a.m. Monday morning.